Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new minisode of Pod Stallions. I am your co-host, Jason Lindsay, and way up in the Great White North is my other co-host, Brian Heiler.
It's getting whiter all the time out there.
And we're going to do something kind of creepy and kooky and ooky this time, because what happened last time, if you were paying attention, in the Sid and Marty Krofft episode, clearly the Dr. Shrinker's shrink ray was causing interference with the internet, or
I told everyone you fell in a portal.
I might have fallen into a portal. It could have been just plain old Time Warner. We just don't know at this point.
I did try to replace you with Ron Harper.
How'd that go?
It didn't go well. Yeah. How did you get this number? You know,
will there be booze there?
Enter what?
Can I show up with booze?
Yeah.
And so what happened was I faded into obscurity. Brian couldn't reach me, and we just kind of texted, oops. That kind of wrapped that one up because I couldn't get back on the internet. So, and then, of course, our lives started to interfere like 10, 15 minutes after that. So we thought, okay, well, we'll shelve it. We'll pick it up the next time. We'll do a minisode, because we really only had like 15, 20, 25 minutes left of Sid and Marty Krofft, hard as that is to believe. We didn't have that much left to cover.
Yeah, well, once you get to a certain point, you know, it becomes a bit of a nugget, really. Not to say I won't revisit Sid and Marty Krofft someday down the road, but an overall general Sid and Marty Krofft show, there's not a lot to talk about once you start getting into the late 70s. We talked about Pink Lady and Jeff, the most accursed variety show ever produced on television. And really, if you haven't, please go look at it on YouTube. And yes, that was a show.
Of all the things, though, why is that? And what's funny? I remember watching it when it aired. Mm. I really do. I was not one of those, oh yeah, let's see, I know it, you know, and then just saw it on video or some strange DVD release. I actually watched that show when it aired.
You were the guy.
I was semi-aware of Jeff Altman as this comedian that would show up in, you know, sitcoms or pilots and things that were shown, and he was a pretty funny guy. I always thought he was pretty funny.
He's the weather wizard in the Legend of the Superheroes.
Yes, that I didn't realize until many, many years later. But I remember watching that show because it only aired like, what, three episodes or something?
Yeah, it's just a huge disaster, and it's a weird idea. In Hollywood could somebody see two people that barely speak English and so say, give them a show.
Well, they were Pink Lady were a quite a sensation in Japan. Mm-hmm. As a pop duo. I don't know what the equivalent would be, but, you know, they paired him up with this guy that was not a very well-known stand-up, but he, you know, did the trick, I suppose, and he was supposed to do the comedy bits, and then they would do a number now and then. Was there a cast of players, characters that helped him out, or was it just him?
You know, I have not seen the show in many, many moons. It's a train wreck. So all I've ever seen is mostly him. But they had to be more players on the show. And now I'm going to do a little.
Well, it's funny.
You know what? Jim Varney was one of the players.
Jim Varney was one of the players.
And that's the only name I recognize, but except for Ed Nakamoto.
See, it's funny. I was out here in 95, I think, and I was working at a production company, and it was slightly rinky-dink, I'm not going to lie. And they were putting this pilot together. They were shooting this pilot, which should have taken half the time that it did. And I think it was like on the air or off the air or something. And it was like a talk show host, and then you'd see him sort of off the air and his other antics. And Jeff Altman was the lead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so this was, you know, this was 95. So this is already 15 years after Pink Lady and Jeff. But he's, you know, he really talked about it as if like this is his big break. Like this is going to be his last gasp, you know, to get a pilot going that would star him. And I think it was because, you know, the only things that I ever see Jeff Altman in after since are, you know, the occasional appearance on Letterman.
Well, he was on Solid Gold as well.
And he was on Solid Gold,
Yeah,
yes.
yeah.
But Letterman still, you know, has a spot waiting for him if he wants to come by and do the show.
Isn't that like strange how A-list celebrities are often friends with people you wouldn't expect them to be?
Yeah.
Like I remember, and not that he's A-list, but Ernest Borgnine's best friend was George Goober Lindsay.
That's right.
And you'd never think those two would be friends, you know?
No, there's a bit of an age gap too.
Is there?
Well, Goober? You talking about Goober from Andy Griffith?
Yeah, he was kicking around in the early 60s.
Oh, yeah, because Borgnine was like 93 when he died.
Yeah, but George Lindsay has to be up there too.
Is he?
Oh yeah, well, Andy Griffith isn't a new show.
That's not a new show.
No, it's not. And
That's not.
Hee-Haw is also very, very old.
Andy Griffith is in a documentary shot in
No.
real time.
Only in some people's dreams.
But
Now,
we're skipping around here because there was
okay.
stuff that happened after Captain Cool and the Kongs.
Yeah, they after Captain Cool and the Kongs, the format remained, but they replaced Captain Cool and the Kongs with someone even a little more dated, the Bay City Rollers, who of course really had their heyday in like 74, 75.
Yeah, in the UK.
In the U well, here too. That
Here
was huge.
too.
They were huge in Canada. My sister had a poster of them. Now they what they did was they had the Croft Superstar Hour, and it had Bay City Rollers music and comedy. I don't know if anybody should have maybe asked, "Hey, can these guys act?" Because they can't. But the backup for the show, which was kind of cool, was they took all the existing Croft characters and they created a show, two segments. The first segment got dropped really early, and I swear to God, I just dreamt it. But it was called The Lost Island. And it had stuff like Dr. Shrinker was the villain, although I think he called himself Dr. Laser. And it had Hugo in it as you know, or Billy Barty as Hugo. There was H.R. Puffin stuff, and the Sleestaks made an appearance.
What?
Yeah, it's all a mingling of all the characters, and I think the genie from Lidsville, which was played by Witchy Poo. And then there was another segment called Horror Hotel, which had Witchy Poo and Hoodoo running a hotel. And Hoodoo wasn't played by Charles Nelson Reilly in this one. It was played by I think a Croft regular. And Jay Robinson also played additional characters in the Horror Hotel. This show lasted a while, although Lost Island got, you know, it got trimmed down, it got changed. But I think it ran about a season and a half. I did not watch it a lot because I think like it came against something like the Super Friends, or I'm going to look it up and try and figure out what it was up against because you can usually figure that out. But I watched it probably twice the entire time it ran.
And again, for those of you that don't quite understand what Brian's saying, when it went up against something, it meant that you had to make a choice between watching one thing or the other.
Yeah, like I actually have some of the 70s Saturday morning TV schedules because they print them in old toy publications. And I'll go, I've never heard of this show. And then you look across and it's like, oh, Land of the Lost and Shazam were airing at the same time.
Yeah, how else would you have heard of them?
Yeah, you just get crushed.
You couldn't miss this stuff, you know? I didn't know that about the Bay City Rollers, like the additional shows that were in there.
Yeah, the Lost Island segments are on YouTube, and it was such a trip. I mean, it's not very good. And they use a lot of recycled footage from Land of the Lost in that one.
Right.
But it's still kind of fun to see the, you know, the characters, the Sleestaks, all that stuff kind of running around. It's not a great mesh, but I think what the Crofts were trying to do is they were trying to create their own, like, Laugh Olympics by using their stock characters.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much the last Saturday morning show they do for several years. But I do, this is a weird memory that, you remember when they used to dump TV pilots in the summertime? They'd say, you know, here's a special.
Sure.
But actually, it was a busted TV pilot.
Yes.
I swear to you, Jason, I saw every single one of those. I saw the Paul Williams show where it's a sitcom. Paul Williams is a bachelor living above a garage or something like that. But I managed to see something called, I think it was the Croft Comedy Hour. And it was a variety show pilot, just like the Bay City Rollers show, where there's a musical segment, and then they would play like a sitcom. And the sitcom that they played was for the, there was a character on Magic Mongo. I think he was like the bad guy. I think his name was Chopper or something like that. And it's him opening up a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
That was the pilot. And then they played another pilot, I can't remember, but I do remember thinking, this is weird. That's the bad guy from Magic Mongo. Why are they trying to do a regular sitcom with him? But I guess, you know, it was something the Crofts threw out there where they were trying to pitch more adult fare. So I would pay to see that again. But it
wow, none of that stuff's available, like on...
I can't find it even on YouTube. There's a lot of things I'm looking for on YouTube that I just can't seem to find. But that one, it really struck in my head. It was a bit like, you know, do you remember those live-action Archie specials?
Incredibly vaguely.
Yeah, I actually did track those down somewhere online and watch them, and it was. But that's the kind of memory I have with this Croft special. I remember watching it, and for some reason it stuck in my head, but it's very, very vague. And, you know, I think I gravitated towards it because it was Croft.
Like, I don't remember ever seeing the Brady Bunch thing.
I do, yeah.
You do?
Yes. Yeah, and that was, I think I said in the last episode, it's when you're a kid and you go, wow, this sucks. You know, nothing sucks when you're a kid, right?
That's true.
So then I think they took a departure from Saturday morning until the early 80s when they did a show called Pryor's Place.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember watching Pryor's Place because it was critically acclaimed. And it was actually really good. I mean, when you think about Richard Pryor doing a fictionalized Saturday morning show about his childhood.
Right.
You think, whoa, what? Because, I mean, for those that don't know, Pryor grew up in a whorehouse.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a great upbringing.
No, it wasn't.
But they pulled it off. It was very good. And I'd say that the next person to do something like that was probably Louis Anderson. Remember he did his Life with Louis?
That was a great little show.
Yeah. And so I always thought that Pryor's Place and Life with Louis seemed like they were kind of cut from the same wood.
Yeah. Well, no pun intended.
Yeah, right. Pardon me. Pryor's Place was, of course, a live-action mix of, you know, puppets and actors, and it had also a little bit of a Fat Albert vibe.
Is that the one that did Robin Williams show up in that one, or was it the nighttime one he did?
That was the nighttime one he did.
Okay.
Yeah, which funny aside, there is an episode famously of the Pryor show where he is in the Creature Cantina.
Yes.
And some of the characters are wearing Planet of the Apes outfits. And
yes.
I want to show that to my kids so bad. But it is so of its time.
You mean off color kind of thing?
Off color, racial slurs. I know, you know, just there would be more questions than I care to answer.
Yes, probably.
You know?
Probably. Yeah, no, it definitely is. And he gets away with some colorful language. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. And it's very much of its time, but it's such an oddity. I remember discovering that the first time going, when did this happen?
I saw that live as a kid. My parents let me watch that.
I missed that. I missed that. I saw the holiday special when it aired live. You know, I'll never forget that, seeing that on the black and white TV and moving downstairs to the color one.
Oh, yeah.
That was a huge deal. But stuff like that, just I was just, what? So, but didn't Croft do, what was the last thing that they sort of produced that basically really showed the, oh, the Brady thing.
No, but the, well, in the 80s, yeah, the Brady, I don't know if they produced anything Brady after the variety show.
Okay.
The next thing they produced that's probably the most prolific thing they did in the 80s next to Pryor's Place was something called DC Follies. It was a syndicated program that seemed to be very similar to Spitting Image.
With animation or puppets?
With puppets. And it was, you know, there's a bar run by Fred Willard where the puppets look like Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter. And it was...
I've heard of it, but...
Kind of sophomoric. You know, Spitting Image was out at the time, and that was huge, and it was biting satire, and there was a lot of... it was kind of cutting edge. DC Follies kind of wasn't cutting edge.
Okay, okay.
It was more along the lines of... syndicated 80s programming.
Was it a precursor to Capital Critters?
I'd look it up, but who cares?
Do you remember that? Animated series like in the late 80s.
Yeah, I think DC Follies predates it. I think DC Follies came out like in 87. It played here in Rochester at like 1 in the morning, and I was always up at 1 in the morning, so I watched it.
You and me both. The amount of shit we must have seen at 1 and 2 in the morning.
It's unbelievable. And I have tapes of some of that stuff. The last thing I think they did that I think it was around 1991, Land of the Lost got remade.
Yeah, and they made toys. Somebody made toys.
I was so ticked off at those toys. Because, you know, I always wanted Land of the Lost toys as a kid.
Yeah.
And now they got, I think it was Tiger Toys. And
they did a reboot, a redesign.
A redesign. So they redesigned the Sleestaks to look like dinosaur men. They were animatronic. The show definitely had a higher budget than the original, or at least a better look. I liked it, but I didn't love it. I think I watched it a couple of times. But it was
syndicated, you know, like Saturday mornings, right?
Yeah, and they added like a Jungle Girl to it.
Okay.
To, I guess, add an older kid appeal. But it was a Saturday morning. I think it was ABC. I think it aired a little later, like 11, 11:30. I was really excited about it for about a week. But I was also in my early 20s.
Now, did they ever veer into motion pictures?
Well, obviously they kind of have, because some of their properties have been picked up for motion pictures.
Well, no, but I mean, like... That they produced, like, did they produce a Donnie and Marie, the Coconuts? Was that their thing?
I don't think so. I think they're basically TV guys, to be honest with you.
But they've been trying to get, you're right, they've been trying to get a Puff and Stuff film off the ground. Now, supposedly, a new series is happening.
Well, what
in light of our episode?
Not Puff and Stuff. Sigmund and the Sea Monsters was announced.
Sigmund.
And then, as of last Friday, the Electra Woman and Dinah Girl is now going to be a pilot for two comedians. I believe it's Grace Helbig and Hannah Hart, who I had not heard of, but it immediately made me go seek them out, and they are very, very funny.
Okay.
So
good for them.
I am now excited about this, because there was an Electra Woman pilot done with Marky Post, and I'm a big fan of Marky Post, and seeing her in the Electra Woman outfit was lovely.
You love Marky Post, don't you?
I do.
Can I tell you my Marky Post story?
I don't remember it.
You're not going to like it.
Oh, all right. Do I want to hear it?
Okay. I told her I was you.
Okay.
No, I just saw... No, it's nothing. I just saw her up at Runyon Canyon once for a hike, when I was up there for a hike.
You've blown my mind.
And she
gave you the finger?
Well, let's just say it's not 81 anymore.
Okay, well, I knew that.
You know, that's all. I was just, you know, I was a little shocked. That's all. I'm a little sad.
Yeah, but that happens.
I know. It's bound to happen.
Still doesn't take away the many hours I wasted on Night Court.
No, it doesn't.
No. What was I going to say? There's a renewed interest in their properties. I'm really interested to see what they do with these.
Which is surprising because that big budget Land of the Lost was such a tank.
Yeah, well, like we said before, they should have gone. I think they should have gone light family comedy adventure with that, as opposed to going R-rated. It just wasn't gonna. It didn't gel. If they had gotten Will Ferrell as the dad with two kids, I think it would have been a big hit.
Well, yeah, but they thought it was going to be a huge hit, and that everybody would be talking about these little dinosaur friends, that every household would have a set of these dinosaurs. So,
Well, one of the wonderful things I got out of that was a Sleestak costume on clearance.
oh, there you go.
Yeah, which I dress up. I don't wear it. I put it on a dummy every
Well,
Halloween.
let's go over this. We didn't go over this last time. I don't know if we did in the show, but it's a great way to wrap it up.
We did kind of mingle in there,
Let's
but
go into
we can do a wrap up of our favorites. How
of
about
just some of
that?
the stuff that you've got, even that's so,
You know,
hard to
I'm
get.
kind of saddened when I did the wrap up for the show and did all the show notes. I own very little craft merchandise, and it's just because it's one of those things I've put, in the later pile, things I want to purchase. But the things I do own that I'm very happy with, and I, by the way, I think I drunkenly purchased a Captain Cool and the Kongs puzzle, which is on its way to me. If
Is there any other way to purchase Captain Cool and the Kongs puzzle, really?
soberly, I hope for some.
Don't think so.
But my pride and joy is I've got the rubber jiggler Sleestak from Ben Cooper.
Now that I would love to get my hands on.
Yeah, it took me years, and I was overjoyed. The other things I'd really like to own are the Electra Woman Halloween costume, the Dr. Shrinker Halloween costume. There is an Electra Woman calculator that's produced by Harmony, a rack toy company, that I'd really like to own. I'm assuming they made other products for Electra Woman and Dino Girl. I kind of want to fixate on that. Duncan, the yo-yo people, made a Wonderbug replica that I'd really like.
Really?
Yes.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, and the things I do have, and there's a Bigfoot and Wild Boy Halloween costume as well that I need to purchase. The things I do have are some Viewmasters. I have Dr. Shrinker. I have a nice collection of Dr. Shrinker rack toys, oddly enough. And I think that's about it, to be honest with you. Like I said, I don't have a vast collection, and I want to. That's one of the things I'd like to work on.
What did you just say? You mentioned something that was interesting.
I did.
Damn it. Yeah, you
It's
said
very rare. Dr. Shrinker Halloween costumes.
costume, go back.
HG Toys made a puzzle for absolutely every show that Sid and Marty Krofft made. There's a really cool lunch pails. Oh, and of course, somebody did a tuned up set of Electra Woman and Dino Girl busts.
Oh yeah, that's
Electric Tiki?
Electric Tiki, and his name is Chancho
Oh yeah.
LaRancho.
Now the there was also. Do you remember in the late '90s there was a toy company called
Terry,
Living Toys?
his name's
Pardon me?
Terry Lee.
Terry Lee.
Yeah, does the Tiki T, Electric Tiki
They're
stuff.
neat stuff.
Yeah.
There was I think a toy line, a toy company called Living Toys. They got one wave out of Kraft figures and called it quits. And I remember being really ticked off that they didn't make a Sleestak.
Yeah, but they did Electra Woman and Dyna Girl. No,
No, they did Electra Woman, and it was nice. I bought it.
they did Puffin Stuff.
They did Puffin Stuff, which was smart.
They did Kling and Klang.
They did Kling and Klang, that's right.
And I think that's it.
You could be right. I can't remember.
I think that's all they did.
Yeah, they never came back with a second wave, which really disappointed me. But that was the late '90s, early 2000s. You got all these people who would come out with a wave of action figures and disappear.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, they made a Sigmund figure as well.
Right, and the Sigmund figure.
Great packaging, nice toys. Gone here today, gone tomorrow.
Well, that was just it. You said Sleestak, you got the rubber Sleestak. Mm-hmm. It was something that I'd always wanted, and it wasn't a Halloween costume. I think it was the rubber Sleestak figure. Hmm. Always wanted that figure.
I always wanted anything that related to the Sleestaks. I think they're really cool, and
yeah, I do too.
Maybe you can attest to this, but you get to this point where something scares you as a kid, and then you're obsessed with it.
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've got. I mean, this whole room is. I could point out 10 different things that did that to me as a kid.
They were scary, you know, the way they breathed and the way they walked towards you, and you know, you sort of became friends with them, and then it turns out they weren't so bad, and they were looking for stuff.
No, they were really bad.
Yeah, but
they were always the bad guys.
There were some good ones, though. There were some nice ones.
Enoch,
he was a nice one.
Yep.
He had his shit together.
So on that note, I think we should wrap up our craft extravaganza. Our 1.5 episodes, unless you have any parting shots.
I don't know if Sid and Marty Krofft had quite the impact on me on Saturday mornings as it did on you or others. I enjoyed the stuff. I watched it. But I wasn't, you know, if it was Flash Gordon was going to, you know, run up on NBC or the you know, Tarzan Super 7 Hour or whatever, or just a plain old Looney Tunes 90 minutes. That's where I would have gone for most of this stuff. So I might have missed. I mean, I'm not sure if I've seen full episodes of Bigfoot and Wild Boy or, you know, some of those things. So
quickly to YouTube.
Get thee to YouTube?
Get thee to YouTube.
Yes, I will. Thank God for YouTube. I can finally get this sorted.
I expect an essay in the morning.
I'll get started as soon as we wrap this up.
Sounds good.
All right, well, there you go. There's the mini-sode that sort of, you know, takes care of the back end of the Krofft Super Show episode that we originally did last week or 2 weeks ago. Don't say we, you know, never – don't say we ever forget you.
We love you very much.
We love you very much, and we come through for you. So, yeah, there you go. Enjoy the rest of that, and maybe you learned something and maybe you didn't.
I hope you didn't.
So you save your learning for the next episode, which is going to be called something.
Trek Kids 2.
Trek Kids 2. In light of recent losses, or specific loss, in the Star Trek universe, we thought it was time to go back and do part 2 of our Star Trek episode. And that's just what we're going to do. From Star Trek, from Wrath of Khan to present day, how Star Trek has influenced us and shown up in our lives in different ways. So
look for it this month.
Don't miss it.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye.